The Concordant Version of the Old Testament, copyright 2021 by the Concordant Publishing Concern. The Book of Daniel. Chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Yet Yahweh gave into his hand Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and some of the furnishings of the house of Elohim. Then he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his Elohim. He brought the furnishings to the treasure house of his Elohim. The king said to Ashpenaz, the grandee of his eunuchs, to bring some of the sons of the grandees of Israel, of the seed royal and of the highborn, boys in whom there was no blemish at all, who were of good appearance, intelligent in all wisdom, acquainted with knowledge, and giving consideration to what is known, who had vigor in them to stand in the palace before the king, and to teach them the script and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned to them the day's menu in its day, from the dainties of the king and from the wine of his drink. They were to grow up 3 years, that at their end they might stand before the king. Now there were among them some of the sons of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. When the chief of the eunuchs assigned names to them, he assigned to Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Yet Daniel determined in his heart that he should not sully himself with the dainties of the king and with the wine of his drink. So he sought permission from the chief of the eunuchs that he might not sully himself. The one Elohim granted Daniel kindness and compassion before the chief of the eunuchs. Yet the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I am in fear of my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. Why should he see your faces more languid and feeble than the other boys who are of your deportation? You shall put my head in jeopardy with the king." So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "I pray, try out your servants for 10 days. Let them give us of the seed foods of the land that we may eat, and water that we may drink. Let our appearance be seen before you, and the appearance of the boys who are eating the king's dainties. According to what you shall see, do with your servants." Now he hearkened to them in this matter, and tried them out for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance was seen to be better and plumper in flesh than any of the boys who were eating the king's dainties. So the steward kept on carrying their dainties away and the wine of their drink, and was giving them seed foods. As for these boys, the four of them, the one, Elohim, gave them knowledge and intelligence in every script, as well as wisdom. And Daniel himself had understanding in every vision and in dreams. Then at the end of the days, when the king had said to bring them in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with them, and of them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they were standing before the king, for in every matter of wisdom and understanding, which the king sought of them, he found them tenfold superior to all the sacred scribes and magi that were in all his kingdom. Hence the king honored them and constituted them chiefs. Thus Daniel continued on until year 1 of Cyrus, king of Persia. Chapter 2. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. His spirit was agitated, and his sleep was taken from him. So the king said to call the sacred scribes and the magi, the enchanters and the Chaldeans, to tell the king his dreams. When they came and stood before the king, then the king said to them, "I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit is agitated to know the dream." The Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live for eons. Tell your servants the dream, and we shall disclose the interpretation." The king was answering and saying to the Chaldeans, "The matter has departed from me. Should you not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be dismembered, and the confiscation of your houses shall be promulgated. Yet should you disclose the dream and its interpretation to me, you shall receive gifts and a reward in great esteem before me. Only disclose the dream and its interpretation." They answered a second time and were saying, "Let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we shall disclose the interpretation." The king was answering and saying, "I know for certain that you would gain time, for as much as you have perceived that the matter has departed from me. For should you not make the dream known to me, there is but one edict for you. You have agreed together to say before me a lying and corrupt matter until the time shall alter itself." Only tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can disclose its interpretation to me. The Chaldeans answered before the king and were saying, There is no mortal on earth who is able to disclose the king's matter, for as much as any other king, grandee or authority has never asked a matter such as this of any sacred scribe or magus or Chaldean. The matter that the king is asking is heavy and extraordinary. There is no other who shall disclose it before the king, only the Elohim whose abode actually is not with any flesh. Wherefore the king was angry and had great wrath, and he said to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Then the edict came forth to dispatch all the wise men, and they sought Daniel and all his partners to be dispatched. Then Daniel replied with counsel and tact to Arioch, the grandee of the king's bodyguards, who had come forth to dispatch the wise men of Babylon. He was responding and saying to Arioch, who had the king's authority, Why is the edict before the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. So Daniel himself went in and petitioned the king that he should give him a stated time to disclose all the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel departed to his house and made all the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his partners. And he charged them to petition for compassions before the Eloah of the heavens concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his partners should not perish with the remaining wise men of Babylon. Then the secret of the king was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the Eloah of the heavens. Daniel was responding and saying, Blessed be the name of him who is the Eloah, from the eon and unto the eon, for the wisdom and the mastery that are his. He is altering the eras and the stated times, causing kings to pass away and causing kings to rise, granting wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those knowing understanding. He is revealing the deep and the concealed things, knowing what is in the darkness, and the stream of light with him unties knots. To you, O Eloah of my fathers, I am acclaiming and lauding, for wisdom and mastery have you granted to me. And now you have made known to me what we petitioned of you, for the king's matter have you made known to us. Wherefore Daniel himself went in to Arioch, whom the king had assigned to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. He departed and said this to him, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I shall disclose the interpretation to the king. Then Arioch, in a fluster, brought Daniel in before the king and said this to him, I have found a wise master of the sons of the deportation of Judah who shall make known the interpretation to the king. The king was responding and saying to Daniel, whose Chaldaic name was Belteshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream that I perceived and its interpretation? Daniel was answering before the king and saying, The secret that the king is asking no wise men, magi, sacred scribes, or hieromancers are able to disclose it to the king. But there is Eloah in the heavens who reveals secrets, and he makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head on your bed, it is this. As for you, O king, your ruminations on your bed came up regarding what shall occur after this, and the revealer of secrets makes known to you what shall occur. As for me, this secret was revealed to me not by wisdom that is in me more than in any other of the living. It was only to the intent that the interpretation be made known to the king, and that you should know the ruminations of your heart. You, O king, you were perceiving, and lo, one great image. This image was grand, its aspect excelling, set up in your view, and its appearance was terrifying. This image, its head was of good gold, its chest and its arms were of silver, its belly and its thighs of copper, its legs of iron, its feet, part of them of iron and part of them of clay. You were perceiving until a stone was severed from a mountain, not by hands, and it collided with the image at its feet of iron and clay and pulverized them. Then all at once the iron, the clay, the copper, the silver and the gold were pulverized and became as chaff from summer threshing sites. And the wind lifted them up, and no trace at all was found of them. And the stone that collided with the image became a vast mountain range and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and its interpretation shall we state before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings, you to whom the Eloah of the heavens has granted a safeguarded kingdom and might and honor and esteem. Wherever they are abiding, the sons of mortals, the animal of the field, the flyer of the heavens and the fish of the sea. He has granted them into your hand and has given you authority over them all. You yourself are the head of gold. In your place another kingdom shall arise, inferior to you, that is silver, and another kingdom, the third, that is copper, which shall have authority in all the earth. The fourth kingdom shall be mighty as iron, for as much as iron is pulverizing and overcoming everything. So, like iron that smashes, it shall pulverize and smash all these. As you perceive the feet and toes, part of them of potter's clay, and part of them of iron, so shall the kingdom be composite. Some of the stability of iron shall be in it, for as much as you perceive the iron mixed with the muddy clay. As for the toes of the feet, part of them of iron and part of them of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly mighty, yet part of it shall be frail. As you perceive the iron mixed with the muddy clay, so they shall be mixed together, wealth with the armed force of the mortal. Yet to wealth they shall not be clinging, this one with that one, even as iron does not mix with clay. In their days, that is, of these kings, the Eloah of the heavens shall set up a kingdom that for the eons shall not come to harm, nor shall his kingdom be left to another people. It shall pulverize and terminate all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for the eons. For as much as you perceive that a stone was severed from the mountain range, that is, not by hands, and it pulverized the iron, the copper, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Eloah himself has made known to the king what shall occur after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation faithful. Then King Nebuchadnezzar himself fell on his face and bowed down to Daniel, and he ordered that an approach present and fragrant incense be offered up to him. The king was responding to Daniel and saying, "In verity, your Eloah, he is the Eloah of Elohim, the Lord of kings, and the only revealer of hidden secrets, for you were able to reveal this secret." Then the king elevated Daniel and granted to him immense, huge gifts. He gave him authority over the entire province of Babylon and made him grandee of the prefects who were over all the wise men of Babylon. As for Daniel, he petitioned the king, and he assigned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon. Yet Daniel was in the gateway of the king. Chapter 3. In the 18th year, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. Its height was 60 cubits, and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up in the Dura Valley in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to assemble all the nations and leagues and language groups, the satraps, the prefects and the viceroys, the noble hieromancers, the governors, the magistrates, the jurists, and all the authorities of the provinces, to arrive for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the viceroys, the noble hieromancers, the governors, the magistrates, the jurists, and all the authorities of the provinces were assembling themselves for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And those registered were standing, viewing the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald was calling with potency to the throng, "You are ordered, nations, peoples, leagues, and language groups. As soon as you shall hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the psalteries in concert, all sorts of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall in the same hour be heaved into the midst of the glowing, flaming furnace." Wherefore, at the same stated time, as all the peoples were hearing the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the psalteries in concert, all sorts of music, all the peoples, leagues, and language groups were falling down and worshiping the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Wherefore, at that same stated time, certain Chaldean masters drew near and maliciously accused the Jews. They responded and were saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O Lord King, live for the eons. You yourself, O King, have promulgated a decree that every mortal that shall hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the psalteries in concert, all sorts of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever should not fall down and worship the golden image shall be heaved into the midst of the glowing, flaming furnace. There are the Judean masters, they whom you assigned over the administration of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These masters did not act on your decree, O king. They are not serving your Elohim and are not worshiping the golden image that you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in anger and fury, ordered to bring hither Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these Judean masters were brought hither before the king. Nebuchadnezzar was responding and saying to them, "Is it intentional, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you are not serving my Elohim and are not worshiping the golden image that I had set up? Now if you are ready then, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the psalteries in concert, all sorts of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that I made. And if you should not worship, in the same hour you shall be heaved into the midst of the glowing, flaming furnace. And who is that Eloah that shall deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to reply to you concerning this rescript. If it is to be, our Eloah in the heavens, whom we are serving, he is able to deliver us from a glowing, flaming furnace. And from your hand, O king, shall he deliver us. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that your Elohim are not those we are serving, and the golden image that you have set up we shall not worship." Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with fury that the mien of his visage was altered against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was responding and ordered to heat the furnace 7 units over its customary heat. And to some strong masters of valor that were in his army, he said to truss up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to heave them into the glowing, flaming furnace. Then they trussed up these 3 Judean masters in their mantles, their turbans on their heads, their garb, and their other clothing. And they were heaved into the midst of the glowing, flaming furnace. Wherefore, because the king's matter was urgent and the furnace was heated exceedingly, these masters who hoisted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the ones whom the flare of the flame dispatched. But these other masters, the 3 of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell trussed up into the midst of the glowing, flaming furnace. Yet they were walking in the midst of the flame, singing hymns to Eloah and blessing Yahweh. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was alarmed, and he arose in a fluster. He was responding and saying to his retinue, "Did we not heave 3 masters trussed up into the midst of the flame?" They were answering and saying to the king, "Certainly, O king." He was responding and saying, "Aha! I am perceiving 4 masters, untied, walking about in the midst of the flame. And there they are, unharmed. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the Elohim." Then King Nebuchadnezzar drew near to the door of the glowing, flaming furnace, responding and saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of him who is the supreme Eloah, step out and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were stepping out from the midst of the flame. Now the satraps, prefects, and viceroys, and the king's retinue were assembling themselves and perceiving these masters, that the flame had had no authority over their frames. The hair of their head was not singed, even their mantles were not altered, and the smell of flame had not come on them. King Nebuchadnezzar was responding and saying, "Blessed be their Eloah, the one of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his messenger and delivered his servants who were relying on him when they altered the king's declaration. They granted their frames to the flame, since they would neither serve nor worship any other Eloah, only their Eloah. Now a decree shall be promulgated from me that anyone of any people, league, or language group who speaks carelessly against their Eloah, the one of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be dismembered, and his house shall be reduced to ruins, for as much as there is not another Eloah who is able to rescue as this one." Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon, and he promoted them and deemed them worthy to govern all the Jews who were in his kingdom. Chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar to all peoples, leagues, and language groups that are abiding in the entire earth. Your well-being be growing great. The signs and the amazing deeds that the supreme Eloah had done for me, it is seemly before me to disclose them to you. How immense are his signs, and how mighty his amazing deeds. His kingdom is an Aeonian kingdom, and his jurisdiction is with generation after generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. There was a dream that I perceived, and it was terrifying me. There were portents on my bed and visions of my head that were flustering me. So a decree was promulgated for me to bring in before me all the wise men of Babylon, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the sacred scribes, the magi, the Chaldeans, and the hieromancers came in. And I was stating the dream before them, yet they could not make known to me its interpretation. Then last of all, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, after the name of my Eloah, and in whom is the spirit of the holy Elohim. And I stated the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, grandee of the sacred scribes, since I myself know that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you, and no secret at all bothers you, hear the visions of my dream that I perceived, and state its interpretation to me. Now the visions of my head on my bed were these. I was perceiving, and lo, an oak in the midst of the earth, and its height was enormous. The oak grew and became mighty. Its height reached to the heavens, and it was perceptible to the extremity of the entire earth. Its foliage was seemly, its pollinated fruit was abundant, and there was sustenance for all in it. Under it the animals of the field found shade. In its boughs the birds of the heavens were abiding, and from it all flesh had sustenance for itself. I was perceiving in the visions of my head on my bed, and lo, a holy rouser was alighting from the heavens. He was calling with potency, and this is what he was saying. Slash down the oak and cut away its boughs. Shake off its foliage and scatter its pollinated fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its boughs. But the stump with its roots leave in the earth, clamped with a bond of iron and copper in the verdure of the field. Let him be wet with the night mist of the heavens, and let his portion be with the animals in the herbage of the earth. Let his heart be altered from that of a mortal's, and let the heart of an animal be granted to him. Thus let seven seasons pass on over him. By the severance decree of the rousers is the rescript, and by the statement of the saints is the request, to the intent that the living may know that the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and he gives it to whomsoever he will, and he sets up over it a lowly one of mortals. This was the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, perceived. Now you, Belteshazzar, state the interpretation for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make the interpretation known to me. Yet you are able, since the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you. Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was perplexed for a while, and his ruminations flustered him. The king was responding and saying, Belteshazzar, the dream and the interpretation must not fluster you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream apply to those hating you, and its interpretation to your foes. The oak that you perceived, that grew and became mighty, and its height reached to the heavens, and it was perceptible to the entire earth, and its foliage was seemly, and its pollinated fruit was abundant, and there was sustenance for all in it. Under it the animals of the field were abiding, and in its boughs the birds of the heavens were roosting. It is you, O king. You have grown great and have become mighty. Your grandeur has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your authority to the extremity of the earth. And in that the king perceived a holy rouser alighting from the heavens and saying, Slash down the oak and harm it. But the stump with its roots leave in the earth, clamped with a bond of iron and copper in the verdure of the field. And let him be wet with the night mist of the heavens, and let his portion be with the animals of the field, until seven seasons pass on over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is the severance decree of the Supreme that comes upon my lord the king. They shall shove you away from mortals, and your abode shall be with the animals of the field. They shall feed herbage to you, like oxen, and you shall be wet from the night mist of the heavens. Thus seven seasons shall pass on over you, until you know that the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals. And he gives it to whomsoever he will. And since they said to leave the stump with its roots of the oak, your kingdom will be lasting for you from the time when you realize that all jurisdiction is of the heavens. Hence, O king, may my advice be seemly to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your depravities by being gracious to the humble, if there should be a lengthening of your days of ease. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, when at the end of 12 months he was walking about on the housetop of the royal palace of Babylon. The king was responding to all this by saying, "Is not this Babylon the great that I myself have built for the royal house, with the might of my safeguarding walls, and for the esteem of my honor?" While the declaration was still in the mouth of the king, there was a voice that fell from the heavens. "This has been decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar, that the kingdom has passed away from you. From mortals are they shoving you away, and with the animals of the field is your abode. They shall feed herbage to you, like oxen. Thus 7 seasons shall pass on over you, until you know that the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and he gives it to whomsoever he will." In the same hour the declaration gathered on Nebuchadnezzar. He was shoved away from mortals. He was eating herbage, like oxen, and his frame was wet from the night mist of the heavens, until his hair grew like vultures' feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to the heavens, and my knowledge was returning to me. Then I blessed the Supreme, and I lauded and honored him who is living for the aeon, since his jurisdiction is an aeonian jurisdiction, and his kingdom is with generation after generation. All those abiding on the earth are reckoned as naught. According to his will, he is doing with the army of the heavens and with those abiding on the earth. And there is no one who shall stay his hand and say to him, "What have you done?" At the stated time, my knowledge was returning to me, for the esteem of my kingdom, also my honor and my former aspect returned to me. My retinue and my grandees sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom, and excelling grandeur was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, am lauding and exalting and honoring the King of the heavens, since all his deeds are verity and his paths are adjudication, and he is able to abase all those walking in pride. Chapter 5. King Belshazzar made a great banquet for 1,000 of his grandees, and was drinking turbid wine in view of the 1,000. While tasting the turbid wine, Belshazzar ordered to bring hither the gold and silver vessels, which his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that they might drink from them the king and his grandees, his consorts, and his concubines. Then they brought hither the gold and silver vessels which they had taken from the temple, the house of Eloah, in Jerusalem, and they drank from them the king and his grandees, his consorts, and his concubines. They drank the turbid wine and lauded the Elohim of gold and silver, copper, iron, wood, and stone. In the same hour the fingers of a human hand came forth and were writing in view of the lampstand on the stucco of the sidewall of the royal palace, so that the king was perceiving the tip of the hand that was writing. Then as for the king, his mien was altered on him, for his ruminations flustered him, the ligaments of his loins were loosened, and his knees were knocking one against the other. The king was calling out with potency to bring in the magi, the sacred scribes, the Chaldeans, and the hieromancers. The king was responding and saying to the wise men of Babylon that, "Any man who can read this writing and disclose its interpretation to me shall be clothed in purple, with a circlet of gold about his neck, and as the third one in the kingdom shall he have authority." Then all the king's wise men were coming in, yet none of them was able to read the writing or to make its interpretation known to the king. Then King Belshazzar was greatly flustered, and his mien was altering on him, while his grandees were baffled. Now the queen mother, in view of the declarations of the king and his grandees, went into the house of feasting. The queen responded and said, "O king, live for the eons. Let not your ruminations fluster you. Let not your mien be altered. There is a master in your kingdom in whom there is the spirit of the holy Elohim. And in the days of your grandfather, a stream of light and intelligence and wisdom, like the wisdom of the Elohim, was found in him. King Nebuchadnezzar, your grandfather, set him up as grandee of the sacred scribes, the magi, the Chaldeans, and the hieromancers. So did your grandfather, O king, for as much as an excelling spirit, knowledge and intelligence in the interpreting of dreams, the disclosure of problems, and the untying of knots was found in him. That is in Daniel, to whom the king assigned his name, Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be called, that he may disclose the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. In responding, the king said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel of the sons of the deportation from Judah, whom my grandfather the king brought hither from Judah? I have also heard about you that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you, and a stream of light and intelligence and excelling wisdom is found in you. Now there have been brought in before me the wise men, the magi and the hieromancers, that they may read this writing and make its interpretation known to me. But they have not been able to disclose the interpretation of the matter. Yet I myself have heard about you, that you are able to interpret interpretations and to untie knots. Now if you are able to read the writing and to make its interpretation known to me, you shall be clothed in purple, with a circlet of gold about your neck, and as the third one in the kingdom shall you have authority. Then in responding, Daniel said before the king, "Let your gifts remain with you, and grant your rewards to another. But I shall read the writing to the king, and I shall make the interpretation known to him. As for you, O king, Eloah the Supreme himself granted the kingdom and majesty and esteem and honor to your grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. And because of the majesty that he granted to him, all peoples, leagues, and language groups were stirred and terrified before him. Whom he wanted to, he was dispatching, and whom he wanted to, he was preserving alive. Whom he wanted to, he was exalting, and whom he wanted to, he was abasing. Yet when his heart was exalted and his spirit became overpowered with arrogance, he was deposed from the throne of his kingdom, and they caused his esteem to pass away from him. From the sons of mortals was he shoved away, and his heart was reduced to be like that of an animal, and with the wild donkeys was his abode. They fed him herbage as oxen, and his frame was wet from the night mist of the heavens until he realized that Eloah the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and he sets up over it whom he wants to. But you, Belshazzar, his grandson, you have not abased your heart before the Eloah, for as much as you knew all this. Against the Lord, the Eloah of the heavens, you have exalted yourself. They have brought hither before you even the vessels of his house. You and your grandees, your consorts, and your concubines have been drinking turbid wine from them. Also you have lauded the Elohim of silver and gold, copper, iron, wood, and stone, that are not perceiving and not hearing and not knowing. Yet the Eloah in whose hand is your breath and to whom are all your paths, him you have not honored. From before him then the tip of that hand was sent, and this writing inscribed. Now this is the writing that was inscribed, Meni Mene Tekel Upharsin, and this is the interpretation of the matter. Meni, the Eloah has called your kingdom to account, and he has balanced it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and have been found lacking. Pers, your kingdom is bisected, and it will be granted to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar ordered, and they clothed Daniel in purple, with a circlet of gold about his neck, and they proclaimed concerning him that he should be the third authority in the kingdom. In the same night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was dispatched, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Chapter 6. It was seemly before Darius to set up over the kingdom 127 satraps, who should be over the entire kingdom, and over them three chancellors, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should be forwarding their report, so that the king might suffer no damage. Then this Daniel was distinguishing himself over the chancellors and satraps, for as much as an excelling spirit was in him. Moreover, the king reflected to set him up over the entire kingdom. Then the chancellors and satraps were seeking to find a pretext against Daniel in regard to the administration of the kingdom. Yet they were not able to find any pretext or corruption at all, for as much as he was faithful, and no carelessness or corruption at all was found in him. Then these masters were saying, "We shall not find any pretext against this Daniel, unless we find it against him in the edict of his Eloah." Then these chancellors and satraps came thronging to the king, saying this to him, "O King Darius, live for the eons. All the chancellors of the kingdom, the prefects and satraps, the retinue and the viceroys have taken counsel together to set up a royal statute and to enforce an interdict that anyone who shall utter a petition to any Eloah or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be heaved into the den of the lions. Now, O king, may you set up the interdict and sign the writing so that it is not to be altered, as an edict of the Medes and Persians that cannot be abrogated." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the interdict. As soon as Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now the windows were opened for him in his upper chamber toward Jerusalem. Thus at three stated times in the day, he was kneeling on his knees and praying and acclaiming before his Eloah, for as much as he had been doing it before this. Then these masters came thronging in, and found Daniel petitioning and supplicating before his Eloah. Then they drew near before the king, and spoke to him concerning the royal interdict. Is there not an interdict which you have signed that any man who is petitioning to any Eloah or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be heaved into the den of the lions? The king was answering and saying, the matter is certain as an edict of the Medes and Persians that cannot be abrogated. Then they responded and said before the king, that Daniel, who is of the sons of the deportation from Judah, does not act, O king, on your decree and on the interdict that you have signed. At three stated times in the day, he is uttering his petition before his Eloah. Then when the king heard the matter, it was greatly displeasing to him. So toward Daniel he set his heart to deliver him, and until sunset he was exerting himself to rescue him. Then these masters came thronging to the king, and said to the king, know, O king, that it is an edict of the Medes and Persians, that any interdict or statute which the king should set up is not to be altered. Then the king said the word, and they brought Daniel hither and heaved him into the den of the lions. The king was responding and saying to Daniel, your Eloah, whom you are serving in abundance, may he himself deliver you. A stone was brought hither, and it was placed on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and with the signet rings of his grandees, so that the purpose should not be altered in regard to Daniel. Then the king departed to his palace and passed the night fasting. Diversions were not brought before him, even though his sleep fled from him. Yet Eloah closed the mouths of the lions that they could not harm Daniel. Then at dawn the king himself arose with the daylight and departed in a fluster to the den of the lions. As he drew near to the den, he cried out to Daniel in an anguished voice. The king was speaking up to Daniel and saying, Daniel, servant of the living Eloah, your Eloah, whom you are serving in abidance, was he able to deliver you from the mouths of the lions? Then Daniel talked with the king. O king, live for the eons. My Eloah sent his messenger, and he closed the mouths of the lions that they could not harm me. For as much as before him, guiltlessness was found in me, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Then the king felt greatly relieved over him, and commanded to hoist Daniel from the den. When Daniel was hoisted from the den, no harm at all was found in him, for he had believed in his Eloah. Then the king ordered, and they brought hither these masters who had maliciously accused Daniel. And they heaved them, their sons and their wives, into the den of the lions. And they had not reached the floor of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, leagues, and language groups that are abiding in all the earth. May your well-being be growing great. From before me there has been promulgated this decree that, in all the domain of my kingdom, they should be stirred and terrified before Daniel's Eloah. For he is the living Eloah and is lasting for the eons. His kingdom shall not come to harm, and his jurisdiction is until the terminus. He is delivering and rescuing. He is doing signs and amazing things in the heavens and on the earth, for he delivered Daniel from the paws of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Chapter 7. In year 1 of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel himself perceived a dream and visions of his head on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, stating the beginning of the matters. Daniel was speaking up and saying, I was perceiving in my vision during the night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens were rushing forth to the vast sea, and four monstrous animals were coming up from the sea, diverse one from another. The eastern animal was like a lioness, and she had the wings of a vulture. I was perceiving until her wings were scraped smooth, and she was lifted up from the earth and was made to stand on 2 feet like a mortal, and the heart of a mortal was granted to her. And behold, another animal, a second one like a she-bear. One part was set up, and three ribs were in her mouth between her teeth. Thus they were saying to her, rise, devour huge amounts of flesh. In place of this I was perceiving, and behold, another animal, like a leopardess. She had four wings of a flyer on her arched back. The animal had four heads, and jurisdiction was granted to her. In place of this I was perceiving in the visions of the night, and behold, a fourth animal, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly mighty. She had monstrous iron teeth, and she was devouring and crushing and stamping upon the remainder with her feet. She was diverse from all the animals that were east of her, and she had 10 horns. I was contemplating on the horns, and lo, another bit of a horn came up among them, and 3 of the eastern horns were uprooted before it. And lo, there were eyes like the eyes of a mortal in this horn, and there was a mouth declaring monstrous things, and it was making war with the saints. I was perceiving until thrones were situated, and the transfer of days sat down. His clothing was pale as snow, and the hair of his head was like immaculate wool. His throne was flares of flame, and its rolling wheels a flashing flame. A stream of flame was flowing and issuing from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 stood before him. Adjudication was seated, and the scrolls were opened. I was perceiving then, because of the sound of the monstrous matters that the horn was declaring, I was perceiving until the animal was dispatched, her frame was destroyed, and it was granted to the glowing fire. As for the remainder of the animals, their authority was caused to pass away, yet a lengthening of life was granted to them until the stated time and season. I was perceiving in the visions of the night, and behold, with the clouds of the heavens, one like a son of a mortal was arriving. He came unto the transfer of days, and they brought him near before him. To him was granted jurisdiction and esteem, and a kingdom, that all the peoples and leagues and language groups shall serve him. His jurisdiction is an aeonian jurisdiction that shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be confined. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was perturbed within its sheath, and the visions of my head were flustering me. I drew near to one of those standing by, and I petitioned him for the true meaning of all this. Then he spoke to me and made the interpretation of the matters known to me. These monstrous animals, the 4 of them, are 4 kingdoms that shall arise from the earth. Yet the saints of the supremacies shall receive the kingdom, and they shall safeguard the kingdom unto the aeon, even unto the aeon of the aeons. Then I wanted to know the true meaning concerning the 4th animal that was diverse from them all and exceedingly terrifying. Her teeth were of iron, her claws of copper. She was devouring and crushing and stamping upon the remainder with her feet. Also concerning the 10 horns that were on her head, and concerning another horn that came up, and before it the 3 fell. As for this horn, it had eyes also, and a mouth declaring monstrous things, and the sight of it was larger than its fellows. I was perceiving that the same horn was making an attack on the saints, and was prevailing against them, until the transfer of days arrived, and adjudication was granted to the saints of the supremacies, and the stated time came when the saints safeguarded the kingdom. So he spoke again to me, "As for the 4th animal, there shall come to be a 4th kingdom on the earth, that is diverse from all the other kingdoms. She shall devour the entire earth and thresh it and crush it. As for the 10 horns from her, from this kingdom shall 10 kings arise, and another one shall arise after them. He is diverse from the eastern ones, and he shall abase 3 kings. Declarations against the supreme shall he declare. To the saints of the supremacies shall he bring decay. He shall intend to alter stated times and an edict, and they shall be granted into his hand for a season and 2 seasons and 1/2 a season. Then adjudication shall be seated, and they shall cause his authority to pass away, so as to exterminate and to destroy him until the terminus. And the kingdom and the jurisdiction and the majesty of the kingdom under the entire heavens will be granted to the people of the saints of the supremacies. Their kingdom is an aeonian kingdom, and all other authorities shall serve and hearken to them. Here is the termination of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my ruminations were flustering me a great deal, and my mien was altering on me, but I preserved the matter in my heart. Chapter 8. In the 3rd year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel after the one that had appeared to me at the start. I saw in the vision, it seemed in my seeing, that I was in the castle of Shushan in the province of Elam. I saw in the vision that I myself had come to be beside the Ulai Canal. Then I lifted up my eyes, and I saw, behold, a single ram standing before the canal, and it had 2 horns. Both horns were lofty, yet the one was loftier than the other, and the loftier one was coming up last. I saw the ram rushing forth westward, northward, and southward. No animals at all could stand before him, and there was no rescuing from his hand. He acted as was acceptable to himself and magnified himself. As for me, when I was considering this, behold, a he-goat of the goats was coming from the west over the surface of the entire earth, without touching the earth. The he-goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes, and he came unto the ram, having the two horns, which I had seen standing before the canal. He ran at him in the fury of his vigor, and I saw him assaulting beside the ram. He was bitterly enraged against him, and smote the ram and broke his two horns. No vigor remained in the ram to stand before him, so he flung him to the earth and tramped him down, and no one came to rescue the ram from his hand. Then the he-goat of the goats grew exceedingly great, but as soon as he became staunch, the great horn was broken, and in its stead there came up four other conspicuous horns toward the four winds of the heavens. Then from the one of them a single inferior horn came forth, and he grew excelling great to the southland and to the sunrise and to the stately land. He grew great unto the host of the heavens, and there was cast to the earth some from the host and one from the stars who tramped them down. Even unto the chief of the host he arrogated greatness to himself. Because of him the continuous ritual was disturbed, and the established furnishing of his sanctuary was flung down, and the horn was given a host for transgression against the continuous ritual. He flung down the truth to the earth. Thus he acted and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to so-and-so, the one speaking, "For how long is the vision of the continuous ritual, the cessation of the sacrifice, and the desolating transgression, which gives over even the holy place and the host to be tramped down?" He answered him, "Unto 2,300 evenings mornings. Then the holy place will come into its right." Now it came to be when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for understanding, behold, standing in front of me was one like the appearance of a master. I heard a human voice between the banks of the Ulai, and it called and said, "Gabriel, make this one understand the sight." Then he came beside my position. As he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. And he said to me, "Understand, son of humanity, that the vision is for the era of the end." As he spoke with me, I fell into a stupor with my face to the earth. So he touched me, made me stand in my upright position, and he said, "Behold, I am acquainting you with what is coming in the last of the menace to the sons of your people, seeing that it is for the appointed time of the end. The ram which you saw having the two horns is the kingdom of Media and Persia. The hairy he-goat is the kingdom of Greece. The great horn which is between its eyes, it is the first king. When it is broken, four shall stand up in its stead. Four kingdoms from his nation shall stand up, yet not with his vigor. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors come to end, there shall stand up a king of strong presence and understanding problems. His vigor will be staunch, yet not by his own vigor. Marvelously shall he ruin, and he will prosper and deal. Thus he ruins the staunch and the people of the saints. By his intelligence he causes deceit to prosper in his hand. In his heart he shall arrogate greatness to himself, and while they are at ease he shall ruin many. Against the chief of chiefs shall he stand, yet at the limit of his hand he shall be broken. And the sight, the evening and morning, of which this is said, truth is it. Yet you stop up the vision, for it is for many days. When I, Daniel, came to, I was ailing for many days. Then I arose and did my work for the king. I am still desolated by the sight, and there is no one who understands. Chapter 9. In year one of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in year one of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the scrolls the number of years which came by the word of Yahweh to Jeremiah the prophet to fulfill for deserted Jerusalem, 70 years. I set my face to Yahweh the One, Elohim, to seek him by prayer and supplications, in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed indeed to Yahweh my Eloah. I confessed and said intensely, "O Yahweh, the great and fear-inspiring El, keeper of the covenant and the benignity for those loving him and keeping his instructions. We have sinned and we have been depraved. We have acted wickedly and have revolted. We have withdrawn from your instructions and from your ordinances. and we have not hearkened to your servants the prophets, who have spoken in your name to our kings, our chiefs, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. With you, O Yahweh, is righteousness, yet with us is shame of face, as at this day. With each man of Judah, with the dwellers of Jerusalem, with all the people of Israel, the near and the far, in all the lands where you have expelled them for their offense with which they offended you. With you, O Yahweh, is righteousness, yet with us is shame of face. With our kings, with our chiefs, with our fathers, since we have sinned against you. With Yahweh our Elohim are compassions and pardons, for we have revolted against him. We did not hearken to the voice of Yahweh our Elohim, to walk in his laws which he set before us by means of his servants the prophets. All of Israel, they have trespassed against your law, and have withdrawn so as not to hearken to your voice. So there poured forth on us the imprecation and the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Elohim. For we have sinned against him, and he confirmed his word, which he had spoken against us and against our judges, who judged us by bringing on us this great evil, which was never done under the entire heavens, as it was done in Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come on us. Yet we did not beseech the face of Yahweh our Elohim, so as to turn back from our depravities and to gain insight into all your truth. Yahweh was alert over the evil, and he brought it on us. For Yahweh our Elohim is righteous in all his doings, which he does, yet we have not hearkened to his voice. And now, O Yahweh our Elohim, who brought your people forth from the land of Egypt with a steadfast hand, and have been making for yourself a name. As at this day we have sinned, we have been wicked. O Yahweh, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because of our sins and depravities, ours and our fathers Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all around us. And now hearken, O our Elohim, to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. Light up your face over your desolated sanctuary on your account, O Yahweh. Stretch out, O my Eloah, your ear and hear me. Do unclose your eyes and see our desolations and the city over which your name is called. For it is not on account of our righteousness that we are casting our supplications before you, but on account of the multitude of your compassions. O Yahweh, do hear. O Yahweh, do pardon. O Yahweh, do attend and act. You must not delay on your own account, my Eloah, for your name has been called over your city and over your people, Israel. While I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and casting my supplication before Yahweh, my Eloah, on behalf of the holy mountain of my Eloah, even while I was speaking in my prayer, behold, the man Gabriel, whom I, fainting with faintness, had seen in the vision at the start, was touching me at the time of the evening approach present. He made me understand by speaking to me and saying, Daniel, I have come forth now to give you insight and understanding. At the start of your supplications, a word from Yahweh went forth, and I have come to tell you, for a man of coveted qualities are you. Then understand what is in the word, and understand what is in the sight. 77s are segregated for your people and for your holy city, to detain transgression, to make sin come to end, to make a propitiatory shelter for depravity, to bring the righteousness of the eons, to seal the vision and the prophetic word, to anoint the Holy of Holies. Now you should know and be intelligent, from the going forth of the word to cause a return and to rebuild Jerusalem from then until Messiah the governor is 77s and 62 sevens. It shall return and will be rebuilt, square and salient, even in the constraint of the times. After the 62 sevens, Messiah shall be cut off, and there will be no adjudication for him. The city and the holy place shall be laid in ruins with the other governors coming. Then its end is by an overflowing, and until the end of the war, desolations will be decided. Then he will be master of a covenant with many for 1 7. At half of the seven, he shall cause to cease the sacrifice in the approach present. On a wing of the sanctuary shall be desolating abominations. Until the conclusion of the era, the decided conclusion shall be poured forth on the desolation. Chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, A matter was revealed to Daniel, whose name is called Belteshazzar. The matter was true, and the host was great. He understood the matter, and understanding came to him through the sight. In those days I, Daniel, came to be mourning 3 periods of 7 days. I ate no nourishment of coveted qualities. Flesh and wine did not come into my mouth. I did not rub with lotion until the 3 periods of 7 days were fulfilled. On the 24th day of the first month, I came to be on the side of the great stream, that is Hiddekel. I lifted my eyes and stared, and behold, there was one man clothed in linen. His waist was girded with certified gold of upaz. His body was like topaz, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and his feet like the sparkle of scintillating copper, and the sound of his words like the sound of a throng. Yet I, Daniel, I alone saw this great sight. Yet the men who came to be with me did not see the sight. Nevertheless, a great trembling fell on them, and they ran away hiding. So I remained, I alone, and I saw this great sight. No vigor remained in me. My own splendor was transformed on me to corruption, and I retained no vigor. Then I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sound of his words, then I came to be in a stupor on my face, with my face to the earth. And behold, a hand touched me. It swayed me to my knees and the palms of my hands. Then he said to me, Daniel, man of coveted qualities, understand the words that I am speaking to you, and stand in upright position. For now I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood quivering. Then he said to me, You must not fear, Daniel, for from the first day when you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before Yahweh, your Elohim, your words were heard, and I came because of your words. Yet the chief of the kingdom of Persia was standing to confront me 21 days. Yet behold, Michael, one of the first chiefs, came to help me. And I left him there beside the chief of the kings of Persia. Then he said to me, I have come to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for future days. While he was speaking these words to me, I put my face to the earth and was mute. And behold, one as the likeness of the sons of humanity was touching my lips. I opened my mouth to speak and said to the one who was standing in front of me, My Lord, by the sight of you my throes were turned on me, and I have retained no vigor. How can the servant of this my Lord speak with this my Lord? As for me, henceforth no vigor stays in me, and no breath remains in me. Then the one with the appearance of a human touched me again and encouraged me. He said, You must not fear, man of coveted qualities. Peace be yours. Be steadfast. Now be steadfast. As he spoke with me, I was encouraged and said, Let my Lord speak, for you encouraged me. Then he said to me, Do you know why I have come to you? Now I shall return to fight with the chief of the kingdom of Persia. While I am going forth, behold, the chief of Greece will come. Nevertheless, I shall tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. No one will be steadfast with me against these save Michael, your chief. Chapter 11. As for me, in year 1 of Darius the Mede, my position was to make him steadfast, and to be a stronghold for him. Now what is in the writing of truth I shall tell you. Behold, 3 kings will yet stand up in Persia. The 4th shall be enriched with riches greater than all. As he is steadfast in his riches, he shall rouse the whole kingdom of Greece. Then stands up a master king. He rules a vast realm and does as is acceptable to himself. While he stands, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided to the 4 winds of the heavens, yet not to his posterity. It will not be as his rule with which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up and given to others aside from these. Steadfast shall be a king of the southland. Due to his chiefs he shall be steadfast over it, and he will rule a vast realm as his realm. Now at the end of these years they shall join. The daughter of the king of the southland shall come to the king of the north to make equitable settlements with him. Yet she shall not retain the vigor of the seed, nor shall he stand or his seed. She will be given up, she and those bringing her, also the lady-in-waiting, and he who made her steadfast in these eras. Yet one stands from the scion of her roots in his post, and he shall come to lead the army. He shall enter into the stronghold of the king of the north. He will deal with them and be steadfast. And even their Elohim does he overturn with their molten images, and their throngs with their coveted furnishings of silver and gold shall he bring to Egypt in captivity. Thus for some years he shall stand over the king of the north. When he comes into the kingdom of the king of the southland, he will return to his ground. Yet his sons shall be stirred up, and they will gather a throng of many armies, which will come to enter the southland, overwhelm it, and pass on. Yet it shall return and be stirred up unto its strength. Then the king of the southland shall be bitterly enraged and will march forth, and he will fight with him, that is, with the king of the north. He also will recruit a vast throng, and the throng will be given into his hand. Then the throng will be borne away. His heart shall be high when he casts down tens of thousands, yet he shall not be strengthened. Then the king of the north will return and recruit a throng vaster than the former. Thus at the end of the eras of years, he shall come to enter with a great army and much material. In those eras, many hearts shall stand against the king of the southland. The sons of breaching of your people shall lift themselves up to cause the vision to stand, yet they will stumble. Then the king of the north shall come and construct an earthwork, and he will seize city fortresses. Yet the armed forces of the king of the southland shall not stand, nor his chosen people, for there will be no vigor to stand. He who is coming against it shall do as is acceptable to himself, and there will be no one standing before him. Thus he shall stand in the stately land, which will be entirely in his hand. Then he shall set his face to come, with the might of all his kingdom, and equitable settlements with him, so he will make. Even a wife's daughter shall he give to him to corrupt her, yet she shall not stand, nor for him shall she be. Then he shall turn back his face to the coastline, and he will seize many places. Thus a captain will eradicate his reproach for him, so as not to turn back his reproach to him. Then he shall turn back his face to the strongholds of his own land, yet he will stumble and fall and shall not be found. Then there will stand in his post out of his root a royal sprout, who will have an exacter to pass among the honorable of the kingdom. Yet in some days he shall be broken, not in anger and not in battle. Then there will stand in his post a despised person. Hence they do not bestow on him the splendor of the kingdom. Yet he will enter with ease and make steadfast the kingdom by slick dealings. Now the armed forces of the overwhelmer shall be overwhelmed from before him and shall be broken, even the governor of the covenant. Due to people joining themselves with him, he shall practice deceit and come up and be staunch with a little nation. With ease then, among the stout ones of the province, he shall come and do what his fathers had never done, nor his fathers' fathers. Plunder and loot and goods he shall lavish on them, and against Egypt he shall devise his devices, yet only for a season. He shall rouse his vigor and his heart against the king of the southland with his great army. And the king of the southland shall be stirred up for the battle with his great and exceedingly staunch army. Yet he shall not stand, for they shall devise devices against him. The eaters of his dainties shall break him. His army shall be overwhelmed and many fall slain. Then the two kings with evil in their hearts will sit at one table. The lie they are speaking shall not prosper, for it is yet further to the end, to the appointed time. When he returns to his land with a great amount of goods, his heart will be on the holy covenant, and he will make it effective before he returns to his land. At the appointed time he shall return and come into the southland, yet at the latter occasion it shall not be the same as at the former, for boats of Kittim will come against him. Hence he will be sore when he returns. He will menace the holy covenant and make this effective. While he returns, he shall have an understanding with those who forsake the holy covenant. Armed forces from him shall stand about. They will profane the sanctuary, the stronghold, take away the continuous ritual, and set up the abomination of desolation. And those who condemn the covenant, he shall pollute with slickness. Yet the people, knowing their Elohim, shall be steadfast and act accordingly. The intelligent of the people shall cause many to understand, yet they are caused to stumble by the sword and the blaze, by captivity and plunder for days. Even in their stumbling, they shall be helped with a little help, yet many are allied with them by means of slick words. Some of the intelligent shall stumble, to refine and to purify and to whiten them until the era of the end, for it is yet further to the appointed time. Yet the king does as is acceptable to himself. He shall exalt and magnify himself over every El. Against the El of Elim he shall speak extraordinary impieties, and he will prosper until the menace is concluded, for that which is decided will be done. Concerning the Elohim of his fathers, he shall not understand, nor concerning the treasures of wives, nor concerning any Eloah shall he understand, for he shall magnify himself over all. In his stead he shall glorify the Eloah of the strong, and Eloah whom his fathers did not know, he shall glorify with gold, silver, precious stones, and treasures. He will deal for fortresses of the strong, with a foreign Eloah whom he will recognize with increasing glory. He will cause them to rule over many, and he will apportion the ground for a price. Then, in the era of the end, the king of the south land shall gore him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a hurricane, with chariot and cavalry and many ships. Thus he will come into the lands and overwhelm and pass through. When he comes into the stately land, many shall stumble, yet these shall escape from his hand. Edom and Moab, in the principal area of the sons of Ammon, he shall send his hand into the lands, and the land of Egypt shall not continue to have deliverance. He will rule by reserves of gold and silver, and by all the treasures from Egypt, the Libyans and the Cushites' reserves which are in his fastnesses. Yet reports shall fluster him, from the sunrise and from the north, and he will march forth with great fury to exterminate and to doom many. He will plant the tents of his regalia between the seas in the stately, holy mountain. When he comes unto his end, there will be no help for him. Chapter 12. In that era Michael shall stand up, the great chief who is standing over the sons of your people. Then an era of distress will come to pass, such as has not occurred since there was a nation on the earth, until that era. Now in that era your people shall escape all those found written in the scroll. From those sleeping in the soil of the ground, many shall awake, these to aeonian life, and these to reproach for aeonian repulsion. The intelligent shall warn as the warning of the atmosphere, and those turning many to righteousness will be as the stars for the aeon and further. Now you, Daniel, stop up the words and seal the scroll until the era of the end, when many shall swerve as evil shall increase. I, Daniel, I see, and behold, two others are standing, one on the near ridge of the waterway and one on the far ridge of the waterway. I said to the man clothed in linen who is above the waters of the waterway, until when is the end of the marvels? And I heard the man clothed in linen who is above the waters of the waterway, until the era of the end. Then he raised up his right hand and his left hand to the heavens, and swore by him who is living for the aeon, that it is for an appointed time, two appointed times, and half an appointed time. And when the shattering of the hand of the holy people is concluded, then all these things shall have their conclusion. As for me, I heard, yet I did not understand. So I said, My Lord, what will be after these things? And he replied, Go, Daniel, for the words are stopped up and sealed until the era of the end. Many shall purify and whiten themselves and be refined. Yet the wicked will act wickedly. None of all the wicked shall understand. Yet the intelligent are understanding. From the era when the continuous ritual is taken away, and to the setting of the abomination of desolation, is 1,290 days. Happy is he who will tarry and attain to the 1,335 days. Now you go on to the end, and you shall rest and stand up for your lot at the end of the days. In that era Michael shall stand up, the great chief who is standing over the sons of your people.